Just about come out of the way. No, we're not. Or I'll get out of the way. We're gonna have a couple of videos for the show. I want to welcome you folks to allowing the Gideons to present this Sunday. And we love to be here. Tom, Miles, and I, we're Gideons. And we just thank you for allowing us to have a Sunday for getting our little mission out. And as Gideons, I think I speak for the three of us. We love going to the Gideon meeting. It's just a blessing for the whole month. You know, as bad things can happen, but you get to our meeting and everybody's smiling. And we had one Gideon lose his mother last month, it's just an absolute blessing, isn't it, Tom Miles? Absolute blessing. So I'll be talking about what we did this last couple of years around this. But as a Gideon, what do? We pray a lot, don't we? So I ask you to cause a prayer for us. Father, we just thank you for Cut Bank Community Church. We thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We thank you for the health you've given us so we can participate today. And I just ask a blessing on all that's said and done today, that your will come through and, you know, your Jesus would shine, just like the music we just sang, Shine Jesus. So we just ask all this in your name. Amen. Okay, Matt, we have a what do you call them?
Testimonies.
And like Tom said, we did the church in Chester. You might see yourself in one of these folks. So this is how we're going to start it out. It's called a smash, so we're going to have three different people telling how God's Word saved their lives. And we do not save lives, right? We just get the word out. God does all that work. I'm not going to blow smoke around here, okay? We do what we're called to do.
It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose,
and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. At 5 years old, my mother moved me and my brother and two sisters from Baltimore, Maryland to Lima, Ohio. She left my dad. By 7 years old, I had been sexually and verbally, physically and emotionally abused, and that does something to a seven-year-old.
I'm from India. I born in a very orthodox family, very strict. So my parents were looking for school. They sent me to a Christian boarding school where I have a Hindu teacher. We shared the room together and we had our idols with us.
Actually, I grew up the son of a Hells Angel biker, first one that made metformin back in the 60s. And eventually I found myself in jail. I found this little Gideon testament there, you know, so I read it because we were bored. You know, in jail was boring. You know, I'd love to say that was the end of the story and that, you know, it worked and I'm saved, but that's not what happened.
My brother goes off and gets saved years later and he comes back to me and he's talking to me about Jesus. Jesus that I didn't want to hear anything about. So I went to one of my sisters and I asked her if she had a Bible. And to my surprise, she had one. Two men used to come in and they would pray for her and they gave her a Bible. And I kept asking her about the guy. She said, I think his name was Pete. Well, back home we know him as Hallelujah Pete. He was a Gideon.
Summer holidays came. I went back home. When I came back, the room looked different. The teacher looked different. Her idols were gone. And I asked her, what happened to you? You look different. She took the New Testament Gideon Bible and she showed it to me.
On September 12th of 2014, I get called up front by the deputies, and I'm going, oh my goodness, they're going to throw more charges on me. Instead, they tell me, Mr. Preston, your daughter just died today from drugs and alcohol. I fell to my knees. I curled up in a ball. I can still picture it now. And I cried out to God that I surrender. I give up. I'm going to do what he says.
It was April 15th, 2001. It was Easter Sunday. And before you know it, before I came out of that church, the Lord had saved my soul.
So I accepted Christ. When I came out of the church, I was trembling because my parents come to know I'm in big trouble. 3 months into my college, my father comes looking for me. Talk to the dean, he said, pack up all your stuff. Don't bring any literature that belongs to Christianity. But my dad doesn't know. Gideons make small Bibles, you can hide anywhere. I kept my Bible under my mattress. Every night when they go to bed, I take it to the bathroom and I read. My dad said, you have a great God, but we can't keep you. My mom said, this is the last day. You have to decide. You want Jesus, you want this family. I chose Jesus.
So I went back to my cell, and that Bible placed there by Gideon 49 some odd years ago was ready for me when I was ready for him. It did not return void.
Why we call it camp, but most of us don't have testimonies to say like that, but that's why we do what we do, and that's why the Gideons work with local churches. We're all in this together. We get the word out, then we have testimonies like this. So we thank God this last year we had absolutely no opposition. We've got one more to do, but we did Blair, Sunburst, Cutbank, Shelby, Conrad, Chester, Shoto. And we got Dutton this spring, which we need lots of prayer for because we were confronted and pushed across the sidewalk. And as our leader, we kind of were going to stand our guns this next time, so maybe we'll need a donation to get us out of there. Teton County Jail, but hopefully not. But we're going to stand our ground, and we can stand on the sidewalk. We can hand out God's word for 10 minutes. The principal, and they can just go back in school and not worry about what we're doing. So we had super easy time. God blessed us. We also moved Bibles up to Glacier Park again. We went up and we found two more, right, Tom? Two more that we didn't get into previously. And one, Miles, remember, we found one where the lady had nothing, wanted nothing to do with us. The next year we went and gave them Bibles. So we have one at Lake McDonald that we need prayer for, because Tom and I went in there, and I still am wondering what we even confronted, but hopefully there'll be new management this next year, and we'll give them Bibles too. So it's been I just got goosebumps watching that and thinking about this move. Now we're going to watch a 15-minute deal on the history of Gideon's. It's such an awesome challenge we've got to withhold what two men started so long ago. And we need your prayers. We do need your prayers. And we can't do this without them. That's for true. So, Matt, can you start this next one? It's every time I watch it, I just think, how can I, this ministry, how can I uphold where it's going? But just pray for us.
When the Gideons began as an association, traveling salesmen were the main form of commerce across America. Roaming through the country were some Christian traveling men who began talking about the importance of Christian men keeping one another accountable. They wanted to be answerable for their Christian testimonies, and in the process, perhaps God would use them to win others for Christ. One of these men was Sam Hill, born in Hardwick, Vermont in 1867. Hill's partner in the story was John Nicholson, born in Buffalo, New York in 1859. One night in May of 1898, the two salesmen were asked to share a room at the Central House Hotel in Boscobel, Wisconsin. The two men soon discovered they shared a common belief in Christ, and they decided to have their evening devotions together. During their prayer time, both felt the call to begin developing an association. It was this accidental meeting in room 19 of the Central House Hotel that would become the humble beginnings of the Gideons International. It was a year later when the men decided the time was right to start an organization for Christian traveling men. Nicholson invited his friend William Knights of Janesville, Wisconsin, to help with this effort. It was Knights who used his keen marketing ability to drum up members for the association. When the question of a suitable name came up, the men bowed for silent prayer and agreed on Gideons, inspired by the book of Judges, chapter 7. They all thought Gideon was a man who was willing to do exactly what God wanted him to do, and agreed the name of the association was to reflect the kind of men they aspired to be every day. They then duly elected Mr. Hill as first president, Knights as vice president, and Nicholson acted as secretary and treasurer. Just a few months later, in January of 1900, it was reported in the Eau Claire Leader that Gideon's membership was at 250 in 10 states. In September of that year, Gideon's in Chicago organized the first local chapter, or camp. The term camp also comes from Judges chapter 7, verse 21. And they stood every man in his place around about the camp. An organic partnership with churches in Chicago developed as pastors began to call on Gideons to speak at local evangelical meetings. By 1901, total membership was up to 1,607 in 33 states and Canada. Gideon camps met the first Sunday of each month to discuss their travels, share testimonies, and recruit new members. It was also suggested in one of the business sessions that, without formal organization, the wives of all Gideons be recognized as the auxiliary for the purpose of assisting in the promotion and prayer over ministry work. Mrs. Frances Hill, the wife of Sam Hill, became the first auxiliary. One member easy to recognize at the time was U.S. Vice President Theodore Roosevelt. He submitted his application in September of 1901 and became member number 1700. He would go on to become president of the United States 12 days later. In 1905, Charles M. Smith, a drug sales representative from Detroit, Michigan, was elected national president. It was Smith who appointed six Gideons in different parts of the country to look after the work of the association in their territories. These men, like many after them, offered to labor faithfully with no compensation other than the joy and satisfaction of fruitful results. By 1907, Gideons direct their energy toward furnishing a Bible for each bedroom of the hotels in the country. The first Bibles were secured from the American Bible Society. That first placement was made by Gideon Archie Bailey, a regular guest at the Superior Hotel in Superior, Montana. He approached the manager of the hotel and asked for permission to place Bibles in rooms. Permission was granted, and Mr. Bailey placed an order for 25 copies of God's Word with the headquarters office. Bailey, a railroad accountant, covered the cost of the Bibles with his personal contribution. The date was November 9th, 1908. It was Dr. E.R. Burkhalter, pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Cedar Rapids, who first proposed the church be responsible for raising the funds necessary to print and place Bibles in all of the local hotels. This plan was set in motion across all camps, that churches would help supply the cost of scriptures as part of their home missions. By God's grace, and with the ongoing support of local churches, the Gideons were intent on putting a Bible in every hotel room in America. From large cities to the heartland, the Bibling of hotels was progressing by leaps and bounds. As reported in the New York Times on these placements, they will not be chained. If a guest steals a Bible to read it, the book will be replaced. In 1911, Association President A.B.T. Moore stated,
"While the results of our Bible distribution can only be told in the years to come, we must not allow it to take the place of our personal work among men to bring to Jesus."
While America faced the Great Depression, Gideons remained faithful to the work. God rewarded their efforts as the decade began, with the association placing just over 1 million Bibles. In 1935, the Gideons officially became the Gideons International. The association also put into place three objectives, which remain a focus of ministry today: to associate Christian businessmen for service, to win men and women for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to place the Bible, God's holy word, in hotels, hospitals, institutions, and other places. In 1938, the Gideons began placing a Bible in every schoolroom in the United States and Canada. A year later, Gideons began supplying God's Word in train libraries, ocean liner cabins, and even commercial airlines. By the 1940s, membership tripled, and God met the growing demand for scriptures placed by providing a steady flow of funding, all against the backdrop of the devastating Second World War. In January of 1941, the Gideons began supplying the armed forces with copies of God's Word. These small New Testaments included a short letter from President Roosevelt in the front cover. The motto of that time became, "Arm them with the gospel too." And by July of 1941, over 1 million military scriptures had already been distributed, 40,000 of those to soldiers based at Pearl Harbor. The Gideon's next scripture distribution efforts focused on the 40 million students, grades 5 through 12, in the United States of America. Just 2 years later, over 1 million Youth Testaments had been provided to students. As God's hand rested on the ministry in North America, the fastest international expansion of the Gideons took place in South America, where in a six-week period in 1958, 9 countries were organized. The ministry expansion was proof of Proverbs 25:25 that says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." December 1968, the Apollo 8 was the first manned spacecraft to leave Earth's orbit. That Christmas Eve, an estimated 1 billion people throughout the world tuned in for the live TV broadcast from the historic lunar orbit. As viewers watched the grainy black and white images of the moon's surface, they heard the voice of Major Bill Anders breaking through the static. A Gideon Place Bible had made its way on board the spacecraft, and Anders began reading over the air Genesis 1:1. By the end of the decade, Gideon's Worldwide had shared over 85 million scriptures printed in 25 languages. By 1977, a worldwide membership crested 100,000, and large-scale distributions called blitzes were carried out across metropolitan areas, often largely focused on distributions to students on college campuses. In that same year, the rally cry across the membership was Flood Africa. Soon after, Gideon's organized in countries such as Sudan, Rwanda, Gabon, Madagascar, Burkina Faso, and Mauritius. The world population was booming from India to Brazil, and the Gideons continued to rapidly answer the call for scripture. In South Korea, army chaplains were encouraging every soldier to carry the Word of God and read it. At the end of the Vietnam War, Thailand became a safe harbor for many, and Gideons were there to deliver the hope of God's Word to many refugees. In Japan, over 1 million scriptures were being distributed each year. In Latin America, the first international scripture blitz took place in Mexico, where 45,000 scriptures were distributed in just 7 days. In 1988, Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, promised something unheard of: the withdrawal of Soviet troops from the Eastern Bloc countries. 21 countries in Eastern Europe were organized for Gideons to work within the next 5 years as one by one they gained independence. These countries had been closed to the gospel for over 40 years, some for as many as 70 years. By 1995, testimonies of salvation poured in through email as the sensation of the internet crept through the masses. September 10th, 2001, marked the distribution of the 1 billionth scripture. The very next day would also go down in history as the World Trade Center towers fell. Days later, Gideons would distribute 195,400 scriptures to the many devastated citizens and emergency responders in New York City. Throughout its history, the Gideons has worked with multiple Bible societies and partnered with a global network of printers to satisfy the growing need for God's Word in multiple languages. Its vital partnership with churches around the world remains the fuel for carrying out the Great Commission efforts in some 200 countries, territories, and possessions. In 2015, the 2 billionth copy of God's Holy Word was distributed by one of the over 275,000 Gideons and auxiliary united in carrying out one vision to reach the lost for Christ. After more than 100 years, everything has changed for the Gideons, but nothing is different. People still need Jesus. It is the commitment to prayer that keeps the Gideons relying on God's direction. It is an adherence to policy that keeps ministry activity and the worldwide brand consistent. It is their unique global logistics network that provides the timely placement of God's Word when it absolutely needs to be there. Finally, it is the steady hand of God that continues to lead men and women who answer the call to go into all the world. Without a doubt, it was God's design for Sam Hill and John Nicholson to share a room in Boscobel, Wisconsin that night in 1898. And as the two strangers opened the Word of God together in room 19, it was certainly no coincidence they read from the book of John. chapter 15, verse 16.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen him, and ordained him that he should go, and bring forth him, that your fruit should be made, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give him fruit.
Church in the Gideon camp to get the word out. And as we have seen in Browning, Tom, I always miss, but the Browning parade, we got the word out. And word has got back to our home that back in Louisville that they didn't say we should give out scriptures in parades anymore. And so we've kind of balked on this. We sent letters back. That's the only way the Kalispell group can get the word out, because all the three schools over there are all on, they can't get on that land. So that's how we get the word out in Browning. That's how we will if we can go to Haver again. So hopefully we're kind of up in the air about distributions, but as far as Tom and I, Miles, are concerned, we're going to keep doing it. So we might not be walking down the parade walk, we'll be on the sidewalk, but we will. Because we give out 3,000 scriptures. We give out 6,000 in the Big Fork Parade, and we run out. So, it's an awesome responsibility we have, but we have our Gideon camp. We have Brother Locke is going to go on one of these blitzes they talk about, where they go into like Venezuela and they'll give away, you know, 50,000 scriptures in a day. And we're going to help him because he's kind of just a wage earner, but you know, financially, but our camp is going to sponsor him to go on one of these blitzes. So he's going to do it for all of us. So he's quite a man, isn't he, Tom Miles? And we hope to have him after that blitz. Maybe hopefully we can get him to speak one time, because he is quite a blessing to us as Gideons. And these blitzes, the money that comes from that, like, is coming up our faith fund rally. We have two or three a year, and that's coming up March 13th, and that's when we get together. This year, either, I think we're going to try to get together with Great Falls, but that's when Gideon's, we, as our finances go into a big hat, and that all that money that's taken from the Montana division, the Wyoming, that money goes to buy scriptures to help with these blitzes around the world. And just talking about that, we get the Gideon book every 2 months, but just recently we're looking at 2.6 billion scriptures handed out now, which is hardly infathomable. But right now, looking at India is a big, where the word is getting out, where we can't get the scriptures in quick enough. Here I can't see very good, so I better help that problem. But we're looking, India is a country of 1.45 billion people, over 2,000 ethnic groups, 22 organized languages. Christians make up just 2.5% population. So we pray for that distribution. They have they have 945 camps in India alone, with 28,732 Gideon members. So this, the money that you give as a donation, that's where this money goes. We, our dues pay for the Gideon as a business, how the business works. Our dues, every dime we get goes right in places like Brownie, Cut Bank, when we give out Bibles, when we take them to the park, or when they go to India. Another big place now is Cambodia, and I think us older folks remember Vietnam. We remember what the awful things that happened in that country next to Vietnam, but how the Khmer Rouge, you know, killed 2 million people. I mean, tore families apart, schools, churches just were destroyed. And now the Gideons are in Cambodia. Their New Testaments found their way into the hands of husbands. At first he treated it as an ordinary book. He was a heavy smoker. Thin pages of the New Testament were ideal for rolling cigarettes. So this man took his Gideon Bible and rolled cigarettes initially, but this man, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, is now a pastor. So I'm just shaking. This is an awesome responsibility we have, and just pray for us. I want to thank you for this time. I guess, well, I've talked enough. Well, I just ask for prayers, and like I said, I thank the church for sponsoring us as a mission, because it's just a wonderful association we belong to. And we just thank this for today. Just thank you again.